If you look at the screen, you see two words. Actually, it's three words in together. I put the N in a different color to call attention to the no, the not, and then ever mind. Have you heard people saying sometimes in a very rude way, they can say to you, never mind. You know, with the attitude, never mind. And but there is a positive use for the word never mind, for the two words never mind as well. And we like to use this title to emphasize one of the greatest gifts that we have, greater than everything, even greater than life itself. Oh, Pastor, that cannot be. So let's figure it out together, okay? What does it mean if someone says, never mind? Used to tell someone not to be concerned about or give attention to something or someone. Literally saying, ignore it. It can be in a positive way and can be also in a negative way. Just ignore it. Don't pay attention to it. Don't let it go to your mind. Block your mind from this. Or erase this from your mind. Never mind. And that means don't allow your mind to be too, you know, concentrated in this particular thing. Just erase. Now also, it says positive use, to remember, call to mind, take care to remember, also to remind oneself. In a negative way, not to care for, not to trouble one with, and the adverb never, which is not ever, or at no time, a compound not or no plus ever. And then we get never. All right? Now, in the Garden of Eden, is implied the first time this never mind was used. But Pastor, I never saw any Bible version that has never mind, but it is implied. So what happened in the dialogue between Satan and our mother, Eve? God did say this? Oh yes, he did. He says, if I do this, this will be the consequence. And what did the serpent implied? Never mind. Ignore what God said. Ignore the consequences. Constantly, we play this game. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us, don't do this. And what we do? Never mind. We can sometimes hear the voice of the Holy Spirit very clearly. Say, don't go this way. Go this way. And instead, we just say, never mind. So let's not be today a typical Eve's child, okay? So let's have a different attitude. Let's not use the same approach. Why? You must manage your mind. Okay? The positive must be heavier than the negatives in your life. You need to have a balance. That's how you manage your thinking. Your thinking helps you in every single aspect of life. In relationships, in employment, in church, with how you deal with yourself, how you relate to God. Every single thing you do in life has to do the way you think. Think about it. The fruits of your mind. Be careful how you think. Be careful. Why? Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Whatever you think, you are. Whatever you choose to think, you become. So be careful what you think. And by the way, sometimes we are not we are careless about what we flash before our eyes that force us to think a different thing that we're not supposed to. And so whatever we have before our eyes, whatever we choose to put in our ears, whatever we feel, whatever we eat, change our thinking as well. Your life is being shaped by your thoughts. Have you ever thought about that? Good thoughts improve your life. Bad thoughts makes your life more miserable. Who wants to be miserable? If you want to be miserable, you're out of your mind. Nobody wants to be miserable, but some people, for some reason, it looks like that's all they are concentrating doing with their own lives. It is being formed according to your thinking. So please be careful. The enemy cannot control your thoughts. So next time you have a bad thought or you do something, don't go and blame on Satan. Because sometimes we Christians, we blame things on Satan, think that that is the end of it. If I take my responsibility and allocate to somebody else, that means I'm not responsible. Remember when it happens with Adam and Eve? He said, she did it. And she said, the serpent did it. Everybody was blaming everybody. Why? Because they didn't want to assume responsibility. When your mind starts playing this kind of game with you, it's the enemy. Stay out of it. God will not control your thoughts. God cannot control our thoughts. Why? Because we have the freedom of choice. It is our responsibility. God gave us the talent, the ability to reason, but that is our choice. Because if God can control my thoughts, therefore, I'm not responsible for anything else anymore. So there is no accountability. Now, I am responsible for what I choose to think. Only you can control your thoughts. Would you say with me? Only I can control what I think. Only I can control what I think. Only I can control what we think. Think about it. That's the way it is. Only. When you surrender your will, if your minds are ruled by your desires, what happens? If you're a person that only listens to whatever you feel like, and by the way, lately we find a lot of people like that. It looks like they are everywhere. It's my opinion, therefore it's right. It doesn't matter, there's no law, there's no respect, anything else. We live in a society that is going to a point that everything is going bananas. Everybody's thinking about whatever they think has to be the way. And what happens when people are ruled by their desires? They will die. But if our minds are ruled by the Holy Spirit, what happens? We shall live. Not only live, but have peace. Romans 8, verse 6, contemporary English version. Now, three choices for your healthy mind. You can take a note if you want, or take your phone and just get a... here's three things. Feed your mind. Have you ever seen on television sometimes when they show some place in a very poor part of the world, when you see a mother that you can see there, she is very skinny, and she's still milking her child, and you wonder how this child can... If the mother is that weak, probably the kind of milk she is giving to the child probably is just water, no liquid, no nutrients there, and that child have a very small chance to survive. When we, whatever we choose to feed ourselves, if we eat well, our body gets energy, and when it gets energy, we have the power to do things. But if we don't eat, if we don't bring nutrients to ourselves, we become weak. And weakness is a process of dying. I don't know if you have realized that. As we die, weaker and weaker we become. That's the process of dying. That's life. Feed your mind, because it will die too. Free your mind and focus on your thinking. Don't just think, but have a thinking with purpose. Have a purpose in everything. Everything that you choose to bring to your mind, do it with a purpose, an uplifting purpose. Feed your mind. Jesus answered this question. When Satan was tempting Jesus, Satan tried to ask Jesus to look into the stones and turn it into bread. Jesus said, no one can live only on food or bread alone. People need every word that God has spoken. Do you eat every day?
Yes.
3 times a day?
Yes.
Sometimes people eat only once a day. They start in the morning and finish at night. Believe me, it's good to eat, isn't it? But it can be also bad. Depends what you choose to eat and why you eat. If you eat just because you want to, because the taste of something, you don't even check what is the purpose of, is this really is going to give me strength? No, no, it tastes good. I don't care if it's going to give me, if it has vitamin A, B, C, whatever, the whole alphabet in the vitamins, but as long as it tastes good, I eat. There are a lot of people eat things that are, ugh, but they eat, and they think that it's delicious just because they put some stuff on it, and they think it is. I have seen people eating things that are, the Lord may be looking down and says, wow. Wow, did I make this? Is this really a human being? The way they eat. And so please be aware that what you eat is what keeps you alive. So take time to eat the bread of life. Don't do it once a week because you become weak. If all that you take to eat is only once a week, you're a weak person. Eat every day, at least 3 times a day, at least. I wish that you could make one commitment to yourself. You say like this, if I choose to eat 3 times a day, every single time I will eat, I will spend equal time with the Word. So I'll balance my life. The solids and the spirit will be balanced. And I will develop it properly as a human being. If you eat 10 times, oh, start looking at the Bible 10 times a day. Use the Word to eat, to feed yourself. Early in the morning, the question is, how many times should you eat? So some people, they get up and the food is right there. They start. Early in the morning, I rise early. Before the sun is even up, I cry out for help, and I put my hope in your words. So right early in the morning, the first thing I do, I take the Word. Before I eat anything else, I eat the Word. Psalm 119, 147, New Living Translation. All day long, eat all day. Oh, how I love your law. And some version says, how I love your teachings. How I love your Word. It is my meditation. Do you know what meditation means? Your mind is 100% connected with. That is meditation. Not that kind of a ooh, thing, no. Meditation means you put your mind in God and let God communicate with you all day. And that is Psalm 119:97, New King James Version. Then we have this. Even at night, I praise you, Lord, for being my guide, even in the darkest night. Your teachings will fill my mind. So you notice, I get up. The first thing I want to do is eat the Word. And then all day, eat the Word. And then at night, even before I go to bed, I eat the Word. What happens to a person who eats that much? Will be very strong. Will be very strong. Will have a lot of beautiful things in their mind. Free your mind. A lot of people are slaves. They don't like the expression, "Oh, you're a slave." You are. There are slaves. There are people that make their slaves. Why? Because they become a victim of their own habits. Things that they are feeding themselves, they are just putting chains among themselves. They become slaves of their own thoughts. Free your mind from things that are controlling you. You must free your mind from all destructive thoughts. All destructive thoughts. I don't know if you have seen people that somebody says to them, "Oh, you're looking good today." Only today. "You're looking good today." And the person says, "Oh, not really. Oh, this is..." Take the compliment. What do we have to beg you to look to feel good about yourself? If somebody says, "You look good today," say, "Thank you so much. You're very kind." And that's it. The destructive agents, there are three of them. You'll be surprised, who are they? Of course, everybody knows the enemy number one, right? Shatan, the adversary, the enemy, the dark one, the liar, the deceiver. That's him. And then enemy number two, all the world possessions. Sometimes we believe that we must have in order to keep. So we keep having. We keep having. And more and more. And then we realize that instead of getting things, things are getting us. Instead of controlling things, things are controlling us. So we become slaves of the things that we try to acquire. And number three, I think is one of the worst ones. Why? Because the selfishness is so bad when people in their own mind, they have destructive thoughts, constantly negative. In cartoons, you don't look like people that read cartoons. But in cartoons, when they're trying to express a person who is angry, what they draw in on the top of the head of the person? Lightning, storm, right? The dark clouds. Have you seen people walk around with the storm only in their heads? There are people that talk, it looks like a huge storm because they look, you look at them, they are mad all the time angry. Self, when people use their own selfishness, their own, it's the worst enemy when you hurt yourself. It's a kind of suicidal attitude. When everything you're doing, you're killing yourself. Remember, when you smile, your body receives some power. Your immune system becomes stronger. When you're negative, you poison yourself. It's suicidal. So be careful. Don't be the worst enemy of yourself. Allow yourself. And by the way, in the world today, they say, "Oh, I'm proud of myself." Stop. That's not the kind of a confidence that you need. If you are confident about what you need, you don't need to be saying, "Oh, I'm so proud of myself." Don't turn yourself into a fool. Just say, "I'm happy, I'm pleased because I did my best, and I'm satisfied that I put all effort to be productive. My life is not only meaningful to me, but to everybody else around me." It's pleasing to be in the presence of a person who constantly is productive. The ruler, people who are ruled by their desires, think only of themselves. And by the way, when I first came to the United States, I got a little bit confused between the shellfish and selfish. But then afterwards, I realized they are basically the same thing. A person who is selfish, it carries the house, their own house on their heads. Everything that they have, they are so attached to it, they don't let it go. That's the selfish. Always all by themselves. Yes, so don't be selfish and don't be selfish. People who are ruled by their desires, they are selfish, selfish, both. Think only about themselves. Their whole world is about them. Everyone who is ruled by the Holy Spirit thinks about spiritual things all the time. Not only on the Sabbath, all the time. Romans 8 verse 5, contemporary English version. Now, how temptations work. Here's a good secret, okay? Temptation comes from our own desires. That's why it's so important to have a godly mind. Because if God controls your mind, God will help you that your desires will be pure. All right? Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. This here is like chain you. You know, put a handcuff. Am I? No. Yes. Arrest you, put you in the back seat of the car and takes you away. It says, this is what happens. You become a prisoner of what you desire. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And then, when sin is allowed to grow, what happens? It brings death. I like what James did here because he gives the steps. Temptation itself is not evil. Temptation is something that we all going to be exposed to. Every one of us. Everyone who's been tempted. But how you deal with it is what determines if you fell or your defeat. It says here, temptation comes and tries to explore our desires, and then the desires takes us away, and then the desires provoke sinful actions. First is a thought, then we put into action, and then the outcome, which is death, the consequence. By the way, the consequence, one thing that you can say about the devil, he always pays people who serve him. And he pays well. He pays with a high interest. If you want to be well paid, you invest on that individual. He not only gives you everything, but he takes everything as well. Yes, that's what Satan does. How temptation works, brothers and sisters, is step one, desire. Step two, doubt. Did God really say this? Have you noticed that sometimes people put doubt in order to accommodate their desire? Not because they have doubt. Did God really say that, or he meant something else? I had a member in my first church. He was a physician, a doctor. His wife was a nurse. Her parents were members of this church more than 40 years ago. They were members here. Some of you probably heard her last name, Hallowell. The missionaries in Brazil, that all the, you know, the missionary work that started in the jungle with the boats and everything else, her parents started that. She became a member of our church and her husband, and he was also a missionary in Brazil, even though he was a gringo. Okay, he was an American. He didn't speak a word in Portuguese, but he went there and he started a hospital, and today is a very big hospital in Brazil, in the jungle. But in the last days of his life, when he was over 70, he was aging, he started changing his mind. He started questioning everything else, and especially about finances. His wife was very patient with him. He never left the church per se, but every church he went, he would come with some printed material about his questions, question everything about God, all because he didn't feel comfortable to return tithe anymore. It was very sad that he lived all his life serving God. And at that stage in his life, he started questioning. Be careful, brothers and sisters. Satan can work anybody. It doesn't matter how deep you are in the church. He can motivate you to doubt. Don't doubt. How many teachers do we have in the church? How many doctrines? Let me hear a good Seventh-day Adventist. How many doctrines are there that if you are Seventh-day Adventist, you're supposed to have to know? How many, sister? 28. Am I a good teacher? See, I'm giving the answer. All right. 28. But what about if one is not a very kind of a, it doesn't fit my lifestyle. Should I be a Seventh-day Adventist keeping 27? You know, 27 is 90, more than 90% of the 28. It's just one. Is that okay?
No.
Why not, sister? You're tough.
If you bring one, you bring all.
How can I go around claim to be a Seventh-day Adventist when I'm telling my own mind that I'm committed to something else, and that something else is in conflict with what I believe, therefore I have to choose, and my mind is causing me to doubt the purpose of my faith. Step, deception, believing lies. And the worst lies is when you start lying to yourself, because when you hear from somebody else, you still can change your mind. But when you hear from yourself, it's hard to change your mind, because it's your mind who is making you change. I don't know if you got it, you understand what I'm trying to say. Deception. Something that looks like, but with intent to deceive. Step number four, disobedience. Disobedience, it doesn't come like you have 28 beliefs and then you disobey one, then you disobey two, then you disobey three, little by little. By the time you get to 24, 25, you don't even attend church anymore. Now, disobedience sometimes is so little thing that we do that we don't even realize. Wait until I give it another one, sis. There is one more, that one. And this is number five, defection. Anybody here knows what the word defection means? When you betray your country, when you defect, when you get out, there are people who come to church and is no longer part of the church. There are people that come sometimes to claim to be Seventh-day Adventists, to be Christians, and they are no longer committed 100%. Sometimes people just pretend they are in church, but they already have left. And they don't realize yet. You are free to choose. You are free to choose what you do. But you are not free to change the consequences of the things you do. You can change a lot of things, but one thing you cannot change, the consequence. It comes. The wages of sin is death all the time. Now, you are here. Do I push this way to be positive or negative? Which way do I go? My advice to you is be positive. Be positive. Allow all the things in your brain to be connected with a positive spirit. I don't know about you, but isn't positive people very attractive? It doesn't matter if their nose are twisted or they have a big ear like a rabbit, but if they are positive, they are still attractive. Do you know why positive people are attractive? Because when we are in their presence, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to fear. People that are negative, they hurt themselves and hurt everything else around them. In thought and physical aspect as well. So it is safer to be a part of somebody who is positive. A person who is positive is always building something. Never destroying anything. That's why it's wonderful to be around people that are positive. Are you positive? There's two here. Three with me. Four, five, I'm counting. Six. We're becoming positive. Look at that. I was hoping that I would say, are you positive that I would have everybody raise their hand? Yes, by the grace of God, I am. Because my God is a plus God. That's what I look at the cross. I see a plus signal. It's saying he's adding me to the group. Be positive. Be a plus. Be positive in everything you choose to do with your faith, with your family. Sometimes if somebody in your family makes something that we can call a mistake, don't look as a mistake. Look as an opportunity for this person to grow. Many times people do things wrong not because they intend to be harmful. It's just because of their own limitations. So don't be too quick to be negative about other people being negative. Be positive. Think positive. Allow your brain, your mind, to be a constructive mind. I hope that you, when you look the never mind, you eliminate the N and keep always telling yourself, ever mind, ever mind, ever mind. Drop the no, ever mind. That's what we needed to do. I made up my mind. Have you? I have made up my mind about a lot of things. I have made up my mind to obey your laws, O Lord, forever, no matter what. I'm not saying this to as a badge of honor or anything else. Sometimes it is more difficult to be a Christian when there is no adversity than when there is adversity. And that's why some people are even tempted to believe that adversity is caused by God. So God is causing that so that he pushed me back to church. And that's when the devil says, "Chin chin, I got you too." So no, brothers and sisters, I have made up my mind to obey your laws forever, no matter what. It is not the consequences that makes me choose God. It is his love for me that makes me choose him. I hope you, in Psalms 119 and 112, contemporary version, that's what we have. I have made up my mind, for the third time I'm going to read, I have made up my mind to obey your laws forever, no matter what. Would you like to read this with me? Okay, let's read each line and pause at the end. I have made up my mind. Say it with me. I have made up my mind. Second line, to obey your laws forever, no matter what. Say it with gusto. No matter what. For life or for death, I will not leave my Lord, because he is the life. He is everything that I need. He is the great I am. And because he is, I am as well. He is the living water. He is the Savior. He is love. He is everything that I need. And by the way, God is very positive about you. Amen. Very positive. That's what allows him to be so gracious. Focus your thinking. Keep your mind on Jesus Christ. That's the first portion of when Paul talked to the young Timothy. He said, young Timothy, you're young. Keep your mind on Jesus. Walk like he walked, talk like he talked, be a Christian, a follower of Christ. A lot of people out there call themselves Christians, and yet they are more pagan than Christians. To be a Christian is not what you believe, but how you live what you believe. Focus on your thinking, brothers and sisters. So keep your mind on Jesus. Put up with many insults from sinners. We all are going to be insulted by sinners. Then you won't get discouraged and give up. Hebrews 12, verse 3, Contemporary English Version. And then it says, have good sense. Fools enjoy doing wrong. But anyone with good sense enjoys acting wisely. Proverbs 10, verse 23. Fools enjoy doing wrong because they are fools, of course. But anyone with a good sense enjoys acting wisely. We are almost at the end when it says, think about others. Do not be interested only in your own life. Don't be selfish or selfish, but be interested in the life of others. It is when you are concentrating on the good of others that you are really a good person. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, New Century Version. Think about others, brothers and sisters. Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds. How many of you, don't answer, please. This is a question I do not expect answers. How many of you, before you came to church today, thought about this? I'm going to church today to be a gift to my brothers and sisters, because church will not be the same if the place where I used to sit is empty. So today I'm going to church not because of me, but because my brothers and sisters, I want to give them a gift of my presence. When you come to church, think about others. Don't just think, I go there because I need to punch in my card. One day when I go to heaven, I would say, okay, Lord, here it is. Every single Sabbath, let me in. And be careful, because that will say, Jesus may say, I have no idea who you are. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Have a good sense. Fools think they are doing right, but the wise listen to advice. I hope you listen to advice, not because it came from Pastor Elsa, it didn't. It came from the Word. That is what the scripture mean when they say, not I have seen, not ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who loves him. And that is about you. You have no idea what the Lord has reserved for you. Sometimes we, no matter how high our IQ is, how bright we think we are, we keep imagining how heaven is going to be. And I have heard some young people saying, oh, it's going to be like Disneyland. No, it's not going to be Disneyland, especially the Disneyland that we have now. So definitely not. Okay? Oh, somebody else says, oh, we're going to be flying on the clouds. Very boring. No, that's not going to be either. No human being can imagine what the Lord has reserved for you. If you want to have a clue, this is the God that he speaks, and billions of animals came to existence in one single thought. This is the God who is working, preparing home for you and I. I hope you make it. Put your mind to it. Ever mind all the good things. Never mind about the bad things. God bless.